Shir number 44, Chaf Shvat Tosh and Samach Zayin. We are holding now in Psukhi de Zimra by Yehi Chavoyd. In the blue sitters, the Sitter Chaim Shlomo HaSholem with the numbers on the side is page 29, line number 15. You know what? I think you might need the other one in the middle. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. Okay, well, you made it to the tape. Page 29, line number 15, and in the regular Arsul Siddur, if anybody wants that, it's page 64 towards the bottom. So Yehi Chavoyd is an introduction to Ashrei. There are 21 different mentions of God's name. We're not going to discuss the details now, how that comes out. And there are 21 different Psukei Tehillim, verses of praise in Ashrei as well. They correspond to each other. And another way of counting up the Psukim of Yehi Chavoyd, we have 18 Psukim plus one more, depending how it's divided up, which originally there were 18 brachas in what? In Shemoneh Esrei, right? And then we added one more for the Malshinim. Not in their honor, if you will, but to fight against them. So we have 19. And we know that Psukei de Zimra is the goal, is to build ourselves up, is to lead ourselves to the ultimate goal of Shemoneh Esrei, when we are standing literally in front of God. So here we have another connection between Psukei de Zimra and Shemoneh Esrei, the 18 and 19. I'm not going to get into the details now how that works out. The commentators discuss this. Or Schwab Zatzal in the Sefer, which I suggest if anybody has some time to go take a look over there on this tefillah, he explains how, as we know, we mentioned in the past, the Psukei de Zimra is by the Ulam. The Ulam is the place towards getting right before the foyer, before the Kodesh Kadosh, before the Kodesh in the Beis HaMikdash, and where the goal is once again to get to the Kodesh Kadoshim. In the Ulam, there were chains coming down, 18 golden chains coming down from the ceiling. And these verses, they correspond, they connect to those chains. We're not going to go through that mahalaf, that way Rav Shaw explains, but it's very important to see that as well. Who said the Yehi Chavoyd? So we have many different psukim of Tehillim which are compiled together. But when was it originally said? Who was one of the first to say it? If anybody has an answer, you could. Unless if you're looking in the bottom, like Seth is. Okay, you can say it also. Seth. So before we give the answer, we'll just explain that Yehi Chavoyd are praises to God. As we mentioned, they are the introduction to Ashrei, which we'll learn in Hashem in the weeks to come, that the main purpose of Psukei de Zimra is to get to the Ashrei. Ashrei is to some degree the main focal point, the main focus of the Psukei de Zimra. And Yehi Chavoyd prepares us for the Ashrei. It's brought down in this different Svarim, one of them is Yisoid Rishoyosh Avoida, that a person who says Yehi Chavoyd, it should be said with tremendous intensity and concentration. All of Dal Yishud, but specifically this Yehi Chavoyd. And if it will be said in such a way, then a person will feel a Yislavus, G'daylov, a Simcha Tzuma, B'leif Adam, as the words say over here in the Sefer. He'll have this arousement, he'll have this connection, he'll feel this fire burning inside of him, this connection to God. Just some words over here. I'm not claiming to know what they're talking about, but just to realize what we're talking, what we're discussing here. We have 18 psukim over here, and we have 18 mentions of God over here in different aspects, and we have 138 different words here. And Rosh Tevos, the acronyms of different connections over here of the first letters and the last letters, they come out to the names of God's holy names, His attributes, in the worlds above us. That is what is lying in the words of Yehi Chavod. Now, once again, I don't know what that means to explain it to you. I'm repeating to you from what is quoted from the Sefer Yisod Shorash Avodah. Yisod Shorash Avodah. Written a few hundred years ago. And he is coming from the Svarim of the Arizal HaKadosh. Okay, now let's begin. Yehi Chavod is a tefillah that we're davening. She is galak void Hashem's barach v'hatoivos hagnuzim v'hanagosam. We're davening that Hashem's actions should be revealed. It's a tefillah for the future. It's a tefillah for when Mashiach comes. That when Mashiach comes, we're going to see God's power. We're going to see Hashem as Hashem echad u'shmo yechad. At the end of davening, we end up davening with Aleinu, and we end Hashem echad by yoimahu in that day when Mashiach will be here. Ya Hashem echad u'shmo yechad. Around 8 years ago, I was driving in Manhattan, around December time, January time, and I was driving downtown Manhattan. I had to be there for whatever reason it was. And it was nighttime, and they made in the elevator, you know, with, from the in the big building, and they made the lights with a certain design, around for December 25th, that time of year, that design from the lights. And I was driving down, and when I saw that, I was thinking to myself, "V'nemar b'yoymahu yashem echad u'shmo yachad," that there will be that time when God's name will be known to the whole entire world. Now it's a situation where we, Baruch Hashem, the Jews, we realize there's a God out there, and there's a boss, and we have a responsibility. However, the world at large, they don't accept our God as the God of the world. But by Yoim Hahu, in that day, Yashem Echad Ushma Yechad. Yashem Echad, God will be one in the whole entire universe. They themselves will admit it. Ushma Yechad, His name will be one. This is the tefillah of Yehi Chavod. That's what we're davening over here. Now, we live in a world where we have many situations that befall upon us that we don't understand them. Sometimes things go well, and we don't ask questions, hey, why did that happen? It's interesting because when things work out fine, we never ask, you know, hey, why are things going so well? It's when things seem apparently to go in the wrong fashion, the wrong way, that we don't want them to go, that's when we start asking, hey, where is he? You know, I prayed for 100 on the test. What happened? Oh, I didn't study for it. Okay, fine. But I prayed. Now, that's a little example, of course. We know that sometimes we have big issues in life and we just don't understand, how could this be good? Look at the tragedies that befall upon people. And at larger scales, we know that throughout our history, as a nation, we've had tremendous tragedies all throughout the beginning of time. This week's parasha, we received the Torah parashas Yisro. Last week's parasha, we left Mitzrayim. We were in Mitzrayim for all those years, suffering. How do we understand this? Babies were taken into the bricks and put in the bricks. The mothers just gave birth, and that's what happened to their babies. The women were doing the hard slave labor like the men, and the men were doing the women's labor. Throughout generation, that's been the story. Yehi Chavod Hashem L'Yoylam. Yismach Hashem b'masof. May the glory of Hashem endure forever. Let Hashem rejoice in His works. The next pasuk, on line number 16. Yehi Shem Hashem v'voirach me'ato ve'adoylam. Blessed be the name of Hashem from this time and forever. Me'mizrach shemesh ad mevo'o. Mehulo Shem Hashem. From the rising of the sun to its setting, Hashem's name is praised. Rom al kol goyim Hashem, al shemayim kevoidoi. High above all the nations is Hashem, above the heavens is glory. Hashem shimchol yoylom, Hashem zichchol ador vador. Hashem is your name forever. Hashem is the memorial throughout the generations. And it continues. The tefillah continues with these praises. But we have to ask the question: how do we understand that we have these tragedies that we see? right now they exist currently in Eretz Yisrael. We mentioned somebody who was mugged right before the shir. There are tragedies that exist. How do we see Yehi Chavod Hashem L'Olam? How do we see God's glory? May the glory of Hashem endure forever. When God's children are being hurt in any form or fashion, that's the way where we don't see God's glory. The fact that we don't have the Beis Hamikdash today, that's a question, where is God's glory? That's the biggest aspect of a Chilul Hashem. Tisha B'Av, when we mourn for the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, it's not just once a year, it's throughout our lives. There are laws that exist that a person has to lessen his simcha, lessen his joy in this world until the Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt. So where do we see God's glory that endures forever? How do we see it? We come to the Sefer Nafshi Cholas Avasecho, and he brings down as follows: Yehi Chavod Hashem L'Olam. May the glory of Hashem endure forever. This refers to, as we mentioned, in the future, that there will be a time when we will see how all those things that seem to be tragedies, from the smallest tragedy to, unfortunately, the greatest tragedy that exists in our times or that might exist, there will be that time when we will see with our eyes how they were all for the good. And the suffering that the Jews suffered, everything was with God's hand. God was in charge and God was saying, this is for you, I am your father, this is the best thing for you. And how they were toivus gedolos, they were tremendous gifts from Hashem. There's no aspect of anything that takes place in this world which is not good for us. Now it's okay, very nice words. Let's go on to the next piece, right? That wouldn't be right. We have to explain, we have to elaborate on this point. Because to some degree, this is the essence of our everyday life. We go through situations and we don't see how things work out, and we get annoyed, we get upset. That's the aspect of emunah. That's what tefillah is all about, the belief in God. That brings us to the story, the famous story which many of us have heard, of Rabbi Akiva. The story when Rabbi Akiva was traveling can be found in Imam Brachas, Daf Samach Amud Beis, towards the bottom. And the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva knocked on some doors in this town, and he asked if he could sleep over. And they said no. I assume it's before he was the famous Rebbe of 24,000 people, because he was, seems like, I don't know, maybe. Fine. Nonetheless, he had no choice. He had to go sleep in the forest. So he had with him his donkey, his rooster, and his candle. His donkey, I assume, to travel, carry the burden of the load, his car. His rooster, his alarm clock to wake him up in the morning, as Rashi explains, and his light. You have to see, it gets dark. There's no electricity over there. It's flashlight. So he's out in the forest, goes to sleep. The wind blows out his candle. Batteries die in a flashlight. His rooster gets eaten up by a cat. Alarm clock doesn't work. Just to relate it to our generation. And his donkey, it's gone. The lion comes and eats it up. Years ago, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I heard this person every morning, he would start his car, and like it was like, I was thinking, this person's got to get a new battery at the transformer. I don't know what it was. It was like, you know, I'm not going to try to make the sound, but he's turning and turning. One day, I just came to yeshiva. Day after day, day after day. Same time in the morning, I'm thinking, really, we've got to get a new battery or something. Finally, I realized this car was really a donkey. Now here's this American boy coming from America to Israel. It wouldn't dawn on me to think, you know, that this was a donkey. It so happened this donkey was once chasing me, but that's for another time. So Rabbi Akiva's in the forest now, and he lost it all. And what does he say after every single thing? He says, "Koma de'ovrachmanu l'tava avir." Everything Hashem does is letov, letov for good. Imagine that. So, okay, some people think, okay, that's the great Rabbi Kiva. But the little me, what happened? That night that they did not allow Rabbi Kiva to sleep in their town, a group of people who you don't want to invite to your house, bandits, they came and they captured the whole entire town. And if Rabbi Kiva would have been there as well, in the town, they would have captured him. Step number one. So he knocks on the door and he asks to sleep there. And they tell him no. Hashem is saying, this is for your benefit. Now, a person could be upset. What did he say? No. Hashem knows what he's doing. Everything Hashem does is for the good. He goes to the forest. His candle burns out. His flashlight dies. So a person could say, what's going on over here? Look how far I've come from knowing nothing. I'm working my way up to be a big Talmud Chacham. This is how Hashem treats me. Yes. Because if they would have seen that light, they would have come after him as well. If they would have heard his rooster, they would have found him. And they would have, if they would have heard that donkey, I know what a donkey sounds like, they would have found him. It's hard to understand it in this world. The commentators explain, I believe it's the Maral, that if a person says Gamzu L'Toiva, a person says whatever Hashem does is for the good, when something happens to him, in the future he will merit to see how it was for the good. And they learn it out from this case, this Gemara and Brachas from Rabbi Kiva. This is a major message of life. January 19th, 1994. Anybody know what that date was?
What is it?
January 19th, 1994. I don't think you know.
The day the donkey chased you?
No. Maybe it was. I didn't record that one. That was the day Brian, a person by the name of Brian, was in Manhattan running to catch his friend crossing the street. Brian just finished some exercise in the gym room. I think he was running to football practice. And he had a backpack on. It was a cold winter day. And as he's running to catch up to his friend, he gets hit by a car. They told him that he did a certain type of move that when you're in the ice skating rink that you get a lot of points. The only problem is he flipped over 3 times and landed on his face.
Don't get points for that.
No points for that, no. He had a broken, I think it's called the orbital. That's the muscle, I think it is, that holds the eye, the left eye. Am I saying correctly?
Orbital, thank you.
And he couldn't open his eye. They told him, the paramedics called his parents and told him, your son is paralyzed, he's broken back. True story. He's lying there frozen on the ground. The lady who drove the car is trying to escape. They cornered her off. That's not for now. His leg was slashed. 30 hours later, they let him out of the hospital. A little depressed that he can't go to full practice on crutches. Someone suggests to him, a friend of his suggests, why don't you try a Jewish youth group? Ryan was Jewish. So he tried it out. And he was there a few weeks, a few months. 3 months to the day, he gave money to a friend of his to buy a pair of tzitzis. He said he went to school with the yarmulke on for the first time. Brian is today Chaim. He is in charge of the fish department in the OU. I spoke with him last night to confirm the story, get all the details. He was in Washington State. He flies around, you know, make sure all the fish are doing okay. He told me as well that the one thing he was good at in the weight room was lifting the weights for his calf muscles. He was able to do the whole entire, the whole entire machine. He said that they told him that because his calf muscles were so thick, his bone wasn't shattered. Because it was cut right straight to the bone, but not the bone itself. So now let's go back now. We heard the story and we heard the outcome. If my friend Chaim said Gamzu Taif, I don't know. But here's a person, a teenager in high school, running, crossing the light, getting hit by a car. Who in the right mind would say, Brian, I'm so happy for you. This is the greatest day of your life. And I want to tell you something, that's not the thing to tell somebody at the time. Sorry? Write that down, yeah. Don't call me on that. But that was his greatest day of his life, to some degree. I left at one point, in that Jewish group, the NC Spire program she was in, he met somebody as well, who years later became his wife. There's a God in this world. We said last week, we say many times, we'll say many times in the future as well, Mitzvah Shem. We make the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. We said Ha'olam means, comes from the word He'olam, hidden, nister. We don't see how God runs this world. We don't understand. It's like the little child that asked the parent for his 63rd piece of chocolate. After the fifth time, the parent said, no, only that's the last one. Somehow the parent forgot how to count. By 63, the parent said, no more, you're getting up to the stomach. And the kid goes berserk. You're the worst person in the world. Any bad word that the kid might know, is the three-year-old is saying it. No appreciation to all those 63 pieces of chocolate that they should not have gotten. We can't understand. We are less than that child when it comes to understanding God's ways. The consolation that we have is that we know that there's Avinu Shebashemayim. There's our Father in heaven. And Hashem says, I know what's best for you. I'm there at all times. I'm not leaving you aside. The world is not on autopilot. There's a God in this world. Yehi chavod Hashem l'yoylam. May the glory of Hashem endure forever. That's a reference to the future. When Rabbi Kiva, in this world, he was able already to see how it was for his benefit. My friend Chaim, he was already able to see how that day on January 19th, 1994, now you know what the date is. No test, don't worry. When it helped him turn his life around. So what do we do with this information? We realize that when things, listen, everything should always go the way we want it to go in our eyes, and it should go right. We should be blessed to always see how it goes right in the first time. However, if sometimes things don't go so well, we have to realize there is a God out there, and He is our God, our Melech, our King, our Father. And that's where Davni over here, when you say, Yehi chavod Hashem l'yoylam, Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. We should rejoice, Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav, with His actions. Because Hashem, if you know your Father is with you at all times, the little kids, the father comes home, what do they say? Hold me, hold me, hold me. So you think, well, let me take my coat off. So you take off your scarf. Hold me, hold me, hold me. Well, 1 second, let me take off my jacket. So you take off one sleeve. Hold me, hold me, hold me. The little children, they want the father to hold them. Sometimes I would take off my coat before I come in the house, so I'd be ready, you know. This is too cold outside for that now. That's the first part. When we daven this tefillah, it's a bakasha, it's a request on some degree that we want Hashem's honor, His glory to be revealed, and all the chesed, all the tovus, all the good He does for us. We don't always see it, but these were two cases. One, Rabbi Kiva's case a while ago, and this one, my friend Chaim, from not too long ago. Let's continue with another understanding of Yehi Chavod Hashem L'Yoylam. What is kavod? What is glory? What is honor? How do we honor Hashem? So, there's a marshal. There's a king. The king has many servants. One servant, he tells him to go clean up polished silver, vacuum the curtains. Another servant, he tells, go clean up the restroom, make sure it's all clean, make sure the sewer pipes are working fine. We don't want any problems with that. This is the palace here we're talking about. That second person who has to go clean up in the restroom, when he wants to do that command of the king, with the same desire to serve the king as the first servant, even though the job might not seem so honorable, he's mevaza himself, he lowers himself, for who? For the glory of his king. That's kavod. Yehi chavod Hashem l'yoylam. If Hashem tells us to do mitzvahs, and we do the mitzvahs, but not only is that second person doing it with that same alacrity and that same desire to honor his king like the first person, but when it comes to clean in the palace as well, there's no difference. The king said to do it no matter what the question is, he's doing it. That's true love for his king, because he realizes that the king is giving him this ability to honor him. It's a covet for who? Hashem says, you honor me, I honor you. However, if a person has that chance to honor Hashem through his mitzvahs, through the commandments of God, but yet he doesn't, that's a disgrace. The person will be embarrassed as well. We have two different types of commandments. We have mitzvahs tamidias, the mitzvahs that come on a regular basis, such as tefillah, davening, amein eshmirabo, tefillin, making brachas on the foods, all these brachas, every day. We daven, we make a bracha. And then we have these mitzvahs, zmanis, they come at certain times, Chanukah, Lulav. We all have this excitement. The Yom Tov of Purim is coming up. We get ready, learn about Purim, get the Shalach Manas ready, and we look for a different costume to wear that is different than the previous year. We want to have a wonderful Purim, Pesach, Matzah is coming up. So we have that excitement. When it comes to these other mitzvahs sometimes, mitzvah of davening, mitzvah of all the mitzvahs that we do on a regular basis, saying Amen, we feel, okay, I have it today, I have it tomorrow, yesterday, today, it's all the same. What's the difference? So this one major point, if we internalize this one point, will realize that these mitzvahs tamidias, that they happen on a regular basis, are very similar to those mitzvahs manias, those mitzvahs that come once a year, or at certain times a year. But what is that one point? That is as follows. That every day God creates the world anew. Whatever tefillah a person davened yesterday, marv tonight, in a few minutes, is not the same marv it was last night. It's a whole different marv. Whatever amen a person will say in the next bracha he hears is not the same amen he heard. He heard a bracha yesterday and he said amen on that bracha. Each tefillah a person davens when it comes to the last al hanitzim of Chanukah, that last mincha, sometimes I say to myself, I don't want it to go, I want it to stay here. The last hallel on Sukkot, when I have my lulav and esrog. Who wants it to go? You want it to stay here. You want the halal to stay here with you. But sometimes you'd be davening Shemoneh Esrei, and we say the same words of Shemoneh Esrei, and like, okay, fine. So in a few hours, I'll daven mincha, get another Shemoneh Esrei like this. That's incorrect. Rav Chaim Volozhin tells us in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim that there are no two tefillahs that are the same. No two tefillahs are the same. The words are the same, but the tefillah, the prayer, is different. So when a person approaches a davening, when he approaches a mitzvah, when he approaches a benching, even though he has these mitzvahs on a regular basis, but that one tefillah is never going to be the same. That Shemoneh Esrei, that Baruch Aleinu, that's one everybody usually wakes up for, the davening for parnasa, for livelihood. That Baruch Aleinu is not going to be the same Baruch Aleinu as this next time comes to davening. That Aleinu L'Shebeach, when sometimes people are saying it, you know, when they're halfway out the shul, they say the joke, just one part of the joke, they say how Aleinu was a little upset about it, because sometimes he said, you know, always when people are halfway out of the shul, or totally out of the shul. So Aleinu was told, okay, I'll put you in the Yom Nerayim davening, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei over there. As a little kid, you know, so I'm davening Shemoneh Esrei and I'm breaking my teeth on the words, and it's taking a long time, and finally I get to Aleinu, and I'm like, oh wow, almost finished. I read those words and I can see, like, what happened here, you know? Like, they didn't teach me this one, you know, I what's going on here? I thought Aleinu would finish. I remember that very well, as a little boy. This is the advice here which is given to us. That when we approach these mitzvahs, that whatever took place, that mitzvah back then is not the same mitzvah I'm about to do now. There's no two mitzvahs that are the same. No two tefillahs are the same. Then that same mitzvah that we're going to approach now is as precious as the matzah we're going to eat for the first time on the night of Pesach. As precious as the mitzvah of giving Shalach Manos that we're going to have in a few weeks, Mitzvah Shem. There are times when people invite guests over to the house. So you can have two types of guests. Just for example, you could have the guest that you tell the person who you had over in your house, very nice, you had a chosh of a guest. Or you could have the guest where, oh, that's nice. Yismach Hashem, yichavoy Hashem l'yoylom. May Hashem's glory endure forever. Hashem says, kavod, honor, invite the guest. That sometimes people might say, okay, so what? Don't do it for yourself, we're told here. We have to put our honor aside. But do it because that person needs a place to go. We have the mitzvah of honoring our parents. So sometimes a father's shoe or mother's shoe, whatever it might be, it has to be, the shoelaces have to be fixed or whatever it might be. It might be a little muddy. And it's a little difficult for the older parent to maybe go down there and fix it. A person might feel uncomfortable to be in front of other people and bend down there and fix the shoe. But no. This is kavod, this is honor. Taking our esteem, our ego, and saying, I'm putting myself aside. God says, Hashem says, this is a mitzvah. Yehi chavoyd kavod Hashem l'yoylam. This is kavod to Hashem, fulfilling His mitzvahs. Even in a situation where it might not be so honorable to us. What does Hashem say? You honor me, you fulfill my mitzvahs, I will honor you. Just to wrap up, rewind, and review for a few seconds, we mentioned that the tefillah of Yehi Chavoyd is a tefillah bakasha for the future, the time when the future. We asked a question which we never answered. Nobody called me on that. So I'll answer the question now. The question was, who was the one who was the first to say, Yehi Chavoyd Hashem L'Yoylam, Yismach Hashem Ma'asov. And the answer to that is the ministering angel which God created to run the world. God says, I give you this power to the angel to make sure the world keeps on running. Of course, God is in charge of everything. He said, this angel said, Yehi chavod Hashem le'olam, yismach Hashem b'ma'asov. It's Gemara in Chulin and Daf Samech. And this angel said this when the trees and the vegetation, when they were created. When we look at the world, I don't know why it's happening now, but in front of my house, I have this certain type of tree. You could stop by, you're not too far away. And there are these like little red berries. It's freezing outside now. And 2 days ago, right in front of my house, I'm telling you, hundreds of these berries all over the ground. And people walk by and they smash them. And then all the way up to my sidewalk and then the steps higher up. And I was thinking, like, what's going on over here? Like, you know, who's doing this? You know, I don't. And it makes you see it. And then just today, I heard this, like, smashing. It's coming down. All these little berries. I don't know what type of tree it is. You could thought, you know, maybe know these trees. I don't know. A berry tree. Well, yeah. That must have figured out. Thank you, Zev. Okay, counting you.
Tu Bishvat.
Yeah. No fruit on that one. This, I don't know if you could eat it. My point is that we could see God's hand in His world He created. Everything that's out there, whatever happens to us, we have to remember the story of Rabbi Akiva of Gamzu L'Toiva. And if we say Gamzu L'Toiva, whatever happens is for the good, in Mitzvah Hashem in the future, we will merit to see how it was for the good. Yehi chavod Hashem l'yoylam, yismach Hashem ma'asov. May Hashem's glory endure forever. His kavod, His glory. My friend, when he was hit by that car, it was not glorious. But at the end, it turned out to be the best thing in his life. He made a sudas haidah. He thanked Hashem for surviving that accident. And it turned his life around. If we might have situations in our life which we don't see how they're working out too well, try to remind ourselves of these stories. When we daven, Yehi chavod Hashem le'olam, we'll remind ourselves how it's the bakasha, we're davening to Hashem, that in the future we'll see how everything was for the glory of Hashem.